Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, we're just one-on-one today.
Are we normally not one-on-one? What does that even mean?
I don't know. The last like 12 hours of podcasting was with Rob.
Okay. I feel like it's usually just us, though. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. You've been very active in like group chats lately.
Yeah. Your whole life is on WhatsApp. It's very annoying to me. I would like to know.
Well, but you finally got your phone back from your daughter.
I would like to know, like, from our listeners. Maybe we could set up a poll in the Facebook group, excluding like our IRL friends. Like, who actually uses WhatsApp? That's what I would like to know.
Well, I always say WhatsApp is exactly what Skype was, which is it's the overwhelming dominant market share in all of the world except America, mm-hmm. where nobody uses it. And then eventually America catches on. I mean, I remember like 2005, 2006, no one in America had a Skype account. And like every single person in every other country did. And that's sort of what WhatsApp is now. So the only people who use WhatsApp, you're right, are people who live on the coasts or people who have lots of friends who live in other countries or things like that. So yeah, I don't think anybody's using WhatsApp in Illinois or, you know, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Although I'm not sure. I'm not sure why, because they should, but you know.
It has more users than Instagram worldwide, WhatsApp.
Oh, for sure it does. Yeah, it just, yeah. But America, you know, America always likes to be on its own. Speaking about kids, though, can I tell you a funny thing that happened with my kids on Sunday?
Yeah, go for it.
So I guess this is our parent corner. So, you know, I lie to my children about everything all the time, as a good parent does, obviously. And one of the lies is I use the same term for all drinks that I don't want them to have, including alcohol and including soda, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So my kids have never had soda at all.
Yeah.
In any amount.
By the way, you just said you lied to your kids. You also messaged in WhatsApp this week that you've only lied to your wife once in your whole life.
You want more lies?
Yeah, well, that was a lie. So now you've lied twice. No, because that's insane. You've only lied, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, an express, like, I know I'm saying something false with the intent of deceiving her, mm-hmm. you know, like, I mean, if I do, I, you know, anyways. So, so my son, who's 6 years old, had a wedding on Sunday, which in and of itself is an insane thing.
What does that mean, he had a wedding?
So his teacher was getting married and he was invited to the wedding.
I hate those things.
Well, so a six-year-old, so here's the thing. I love weddings. Weddings are great. I like all weddings. So I was pretending to be annoyed, but secretly I was happy because he can't go to the wedding by himself, which means I have to go, and I love going to weddings.
Well, is he invited as a full-fledged guest?
His entire class was, yeah. All the kindergartners were invited to the wedding. It was cute. They all wore the same outfits.
But everyone needed a parent, right? Unless you took like five kids.
So yeah, so I had no idea. Exactly. I had no idea how it was supposed to work.
Was this the first wedding?
You can't just drop a six-year-old off. Is this his first wedding?
No, is this a first wedding? Like a standard, pretty traditional wedding?
Yeah, his teacher's, you know, a woman in her
20s. Oh, okay. Fine. I'm saying, so like, I don't know. I feel like I've gone to teachers' weddings before. Usually, like, their whole class isn't there.
Yeah, well, this teacher, this
woman. But so then every single kid came and a parent brought the kid?
Well, so exactly. So how, you can't drop a six-year-old off at the front door and say, I'll see you in 3 hours.
Not at a wedding, yeah. And it would be rude to ask the teacher to watch the kids.
So I had no idea what the plan was. So there's a few parents who are invited to the wedding anyways because they're friends with somebody. So let's say there was two or three parents like that, right? And let's say each one of them can bring two or three kids. And then there was another group of parents who were basically like me, who just basically came with their kid. Some of them came with another kid also. Now, I was the only
father. Now, are you invited to the
mothers.
Wedding? Like, are they paying
for
Alex Chester to eat?
So by default, I sort of have to... Well, that's what I'm saying. By default, I sort of have to come because I don't have a choice, right? But while the other parents were all acting annoyed, and so I pretended to act annoyed, I was secretly happy.
Like, but how does this work at the table? Like, what are you doing when they're, like, sitting down and eating?
No, it was a chuppah-only invite.
Okay, so you have to explain this to the listeners, though.
Why
are you telling the story if you're going to... If you're not going to, like, explain the cultural difference, which is, it, like, makes the entire thing.
None of that matters. The story is about the soda, which you interrupted to talk about the wedding. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to explain how Orthodox Jewish weddings work.
No, it's fine. All right, so you weren't invited to the whole wedding. That's all you were saying. You were invited to, like, part of the wedding. Fine.
No, but I wasn't. I was invited to more of the wedding than even exists at non-Jewish weddings. So you say, like, not, like, so that's, like, a misleading.
No, but not in the context of, like, but it's, like, 2 hours you're invited to, not the whole 6 hours.
Well, let's explain culturally how it works. So when you get to an Orthodox wedding, the main food is like in a buffet style is already there. There's like a buffet of
food already, and you already bar. And, I have explained poorly. I wouldn't say the main food because there's still a meal. I would say like there's more food.
What percentage of people? Hold on. What percentage of people sit down at the table and eat a meal? Maybe 10%? Nobody eats
at
that.
A wedding? I mean, people sit down. I don't know what they're putting in their mouth, but everyone is served a piece of meat.
And it is the biggest waste of money ever. I don't disagree.
But you're
okay,
just doing a bad job of explaining.
So then you interrupted me. Well, no, I did a good job explaining. So let me explain how it works. So when you get to the wedding, the main food,
by the way, this
there
is
are
our
stations
NBA
all
preview.
Over the place. There's sushi. There's sushi and there's carving stations mm-hmm. and there's burgers and like whatever kind of food you mm-hmm. want. There's huge amounts of food and it's a buffet, so you can have as much as you want and you can eat as much as you mm-hmm. want. And then while this is going on, the bride and the groom are having like little receptions, whatever. And then the bride and groom sort of dance towards each other and they see each other for a minute. And then this whole process takes, let's say, an hour and a half or so. And then they separate and then everybody goes into the room where the actual reception is, the chuppah, as mm-hmm. we call it. And then everybody walks down the aisle, you have the ceremony, and then after the ceremony, you go into the other room where once the bride and groom reemerge, then there's dancing, and then usually by the time that dancing is done, half the people leave, but at that point, if you stay, you can sit down at a table where there will be a meal waiting for you, but nobody eats that food because you've already eaten before, and plus, before you got to choose what you wanted, now you're just served a plate.
Well, here
you
usually
get
it. You have a choice
steak.
Between like meat, chicken, fish, vegetarian. But yeah, but your general overall point is definitely correct.
Yeah, but
and also I don't agree that half the people stupid, leave. I think you're being, maybe on like a weeknight wedding, which our culture does have a bunch of. But like, half is pretty.
Yeah,
is pretty strict.
Well, of people who are – well, it depends. If you're in a New York wedding, it depends if it's out of town. If it's a local mm-hmm. wedding, then tons of people leave. If it's an out-of-town wedding, people have nowhere to go because they're staying in the hotel. So, yeah. Anyway, so the point – yeah. So our invitation is sort of – it's called chuppah only, which means you come for everything but the sit-down.
Right,
but
so
you
they're not paying
the
for
dance.
Your kid. They're paying for them to dance and watch the ceremony and have some of the smorgasbord food.
Yeah, but again, which is the best food?
Oh,
and the most
no,
food.
For sure. So you get to eat and was
yeah, but they're not paying for a plate.
No, they're not paying for
but
a
again,
plate.
But again, they shouldn't pay for plates
one.
For anybody.
Did every kid from the class come to the wedding? Did you take attendance?
I mean, there was 15 or 20, so it looks like almost everybody
okay.
did.
Okay. That's fun.
Yeah. So anyway, so we get to the wedding, and all the other kids in the class are all going to the bar and ordering Cokes.
No.
So my son comes up to me nervously and says they're all drinking Coke.
Your son, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, when we took our kids to the park together a year ago or so, referred to soda as yucky juice or something like that?
Yes. So yucky juice is what we call alcohol, soda, everything we don't want them to drink, uh-huh. basically.
Do you realize this charade is not going to last?
Well, that's the point of the story that I keep trying to tell.
There's going
to
be some nefarious adult. Perhaps an Uncle Kiwi who's going to like, listen, they're going to...
You're going to slip my son a drink, Michael Jackson
style?
It's
not bad because like most kids will be like, ooh, like I'm not allowed to smoke cigarettes. Like I'm going to go sneak and smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Your kids are going to be like, I need to have freaking Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Well, I was the same when I was a kid. Apparently I called soda. Well, we lived in Minnesota where it's called pop. I called it pop juice because again, it was a thing I never had, but well, I knew about orange juice
like,
and apple juice.
Is it really
so
worth
foreign fight?
I understand not giving your kids like Coke every week or not having it in the house. Is it really worth fighting this battle that like when their friends are having Coke, they can't have a freaking...
Well, but it's not... Well, first of all, it's not a battle because they've never asked for it. Like when we're at a place where they have it like synagogue, my kids have never asked for it because they think it's like alcohol. What I've done strategically because I'm smart is every once in a while I offer them like, do you want some yucky juice?
Oh, but they like to have like apple Coke, juice obviously. And orange juice?
Okay. Yeah.
So just no soda, no alcohol.
Yeah, so...
And I agree with the not serving 6-year-olds alcohol part.
Yeah, well, no. So what I do, though, strategically, every once in a while I offer them some just to keep them honest, and then they say, yeah, but I don't pour them a Coke. I give them a little bit of alcohol, and then they put it to their lips
the
and they're disgusted.
That's the most insane
like, oh,
thing
God.
Anyone's ever said.
No, that's genius because this way they don't want it because they think it tastes terrible because they don't know that bourbon and
what
Coke
if they
are not
loved
the same
it
thing.
And they're like and then they're freaking like 6-year-old. This is the like, you just said that like it was normal when it was the craziest reveal in the history of this show.
I mean, I think it's pretty genius. Obviously. I'm not saying no 6-year-old is going to love hard alcohol. What are you talking about?
It's crazy.
Anyways, right. You don't even like hard alcohol. You're an adult.
I don't like alcohol. That's true.
Yeah. Anyways,
like
so the Yes, the point of all this is that my son says to me that all the kids in his... So I didn't know that he knew the word Coke, but again, he's 6 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
So, yeah. He, about talking about knowing... I remember he said to me once years ago when we were living in New York still, he said something to me about how you can get a new nose if you don't like your nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where did you hear that? And he said, oh, I heard people talking about... Anyway, so where was I going? Okay, so he says to me, he says, so these kids are drinking Coke. And I said, well, it's okay, it's a wedding, you can have some, which is a big deal, he's never had it before. And he sort of apprehensively gets a Coke, and I give it to him, and I take a picture as he drinks it, and he takes the slightest sip, and he was disgusted.
Yeah, he was ready to hate it. There's no way he's gonna like it,
which is shocking.
What if all of his friends are like oh, this is the greatest thing ever.
You know, they were. That's why I let him have it. He didn't want it, and so he wasn't interested in it. So then another kid, who I guess is a wedding veteran, had gone up to the bar and ordered a Shirley Temple himself.
Yeah, I thought that's the move. Tell your kid to order the Shirley Temple.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got my son a Shirley Temple, and then he ends up having like three of them. So, yeah. So, yeah, but basically,
but I think you've dodged another year or two of the no soda thing.
Well, so the thing is, once the oldest one knows, he tells the younger ones. So it's over for
everybody. Right, yeah, that's how parenting works in general. Yeah. Your whole family's only as good as your oldest kid, basically.
Yeah,
it's a problem.
Basically, yeah. So, yeah, so that's what happened there. But we're here to talk about, you know, NHL playoffs started last night. NBA playoffs are starting in a couple days. Game of Thrones is coming. I'm so excited. So many great things are happening.
I mean, this is a crazy weekend. You have, right, Game of Thrones opener. You have the Masters, if you're into that. NBA and NHL playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball. It's a ridiculously good weekend.
Yeah, it's a great weekend. You know, we had an argument with Rob. Was that on this podcast, I think, where we sort of drafted like who are the most important characters in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, that was on this podcast.
Yeah. So I have a chart here showing the exact number of minutes of screen time for every single person who has appeared on the show for at least 5 minutes.
Okay. Wow.
So we're going to play a little game. I did not make this chart myself,
okay,
although I would. We're going to play a little game. I'm going to name two characters, and you tell me who's had more screen time total.
Sure. Good game.
All right. Jon Snow or Daenerys Targaryen?
I'm going to say Jon Snow.
Yeah. All right. I got another one. Daenerys Targaryen or Tyrion Lannister?
I think Tyrion's had more screen time.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. So Jon Snow.
Because I think Daenerys, like, when
she's
not there, she's really not there. You know what I mean? And I feel like there have been more episodes.
Yeah,
because
she was in another continent for, a long time. Yeah. She couldn't, like, meld into various stories. So Jon Snow's at 338. Tyrion's at 337. They're, like, neck and neck at the top right now. And then Daenerys is a little bit further back. All right. Which Stark sister has more, Sansa or Arya?
I don't have a strong take on this, but I'm going to say Sansa.
Yeah, you're right. And I would have used the same logic that you used for Jon versus Daenerys, because Arya was like an Essos.
Yeah, Arya could disappear, and also...
So
like
Sansa could have just been in the background of a whole bunch of stuff in King's Landing in the first couple seasons. You know, that kind of thing. All right, I'll give you a couple more. Here's an interesting one, because he's been played by a couple different characters, because he's in flashbacks. So Ned Stark or Bran Stark?
I mean, Bran could disappear for full seasons.
I
feel like you're only asking because Ned's the answer, because Bran would be the obvious one because he's been around for so much longer.
Yeah, it's 100 to 99. It's like neck and neck.
I mean, that just shows you, like, Bran is not a major character, and his scenes are bad.
Well, he was gone for two whole
seasons. Yeah, but he sucked.
All right,
Ned's been gone for seven whole seasons.
The titular advisors, Varys or Peter Baelish, Littlefinger?
Okay, Varys or Littlefinger, that's probably tight. I'm going to say Varys. He's still kicking, right, whereas Littlefinger's dead.
Yeah, no. So Littlefinger has a sizable lead.
I guess when they were both around, Littlefinger was a bigger character than Varys, and he hasn't been gone for that long. Were there a lot of scenes with both of them?
Yeah, well, in season one there was. They were always sort of vying on the small council. Yeah. All right, how about this one? Catelyn Stark, the mother of the Starks. Mm-hmm. Or Tywin Lannister, the father of the Lannisters.
I think Tywin Lannister wins that one.
I would have guessed that, but it's actually Catelyn, 83-78.
I guess he didn't have a lot of like standalone scenes. Like, he could never be the main person in a scene, Tywin, whereas Catelyn Stark could have been.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's talk NBA. You were talking about characters. All right, okay, enough of this. But yeah, I enjoyed this chart. I studied it for like many hours. But Okay, fine. So let's talk NBA. Are we going to talk NHL at all? Because people want to hear
our hot
NHL
picks.
What's
going on? Maybe we could make quick picks for the NHL. Let's start with the NBA.
Yeah. Well, here's my one comment about the NHL. You know, for years it has seemed, and again, I'm not a huge hardcore NHL fan, but every year the Washington Capitals would win the President's Cup, would be by far the best team in the regular season, and then would crash and burn dramatically in the playoffs. They'd lose to Pittsburgh or whoever. And it seems like the Lightning, now it's been one game, and obviously, you know, it's a little bit premature to judge, but the Lightning are the overwhelming favorites and, you know, again, won the President's Cup easily in the Eastern Conference. And they crashed and burned yesterday. And you were joking that one person in our NHL playoff pool, you think may have accidentally reversed their rankings because they have the Lightning like at the bottom and not the top.
Right.
And so they're in first place on day one.
Yeah, no, they're much smarter than we are.
Yeah. So they might accidentally or intentionally.
I think I'm going to do that with football. I'm going to we should do that. Well, you could still do it with basketball. I'm going to have the Pistons versus the freaking, I'm going to have the Pistons versus the Clippers in the final, and I'm going to win.
Yeah. All right. So before we talk about the playoffs, let's talk about the teams out of the playoffs. So I think you did the same, or if you didn't, you could just make fun of my list. But I went through the 14 teams in the lottery, and I ranked them my preference for where I want to see Zion.
Okay.
So who I want to see, who am I rooting to win the lottery?
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Let's see who.
Okay. Did you make your own ranking, or are you just going to make
fun
of
mine? No, I'm going to make fun of yours. Or I might agree with
it. Okay. All right. Okay, so where do I want to see Zion go? I'll go from worst to best. So the worst case scenario, the team I really don't want to see win the lottery, is the Heat. I'm annoyed about the Heat cherry picking stars just because they want to hang out in South Beach.
They've won recently. Yeah, I agree. Their fans don't deserve it.
Literal fair weather fans. They didn't deserve it. LeBron. They don't deserve
the Wade celebrations have been so over the top.
Yeah. They hoisted this Dwayne Wade celebration on everybody forever. I did not like
and
it.
And also they have this thing, they were in rehab, or their father was in rehab. And but you got them out, Dwayne Wade, and then at the end it's a Budweiser commercial.
Yeah. All right. Number 13 is the Lakers. Now, before we talk about the Lakers,
no, the Lakers have to be last. The Lakers have to be last. They would be. I mean, I guess if you were Adam Silver, the Lakers are probably one or two. But that'll be insufferable if they have Zion and LeBron. But yeah. Imagine this: Zion, LeBron, and they miss the playoffs next year.
Oh, man, the takes would be spicy. Yeah. Now, talking about spicy takes, I said on this podcast, now, I might have edited it out because you told me to edit it out. You told me not to produce it, and I may not have, so I don't know. So listeners can tell me if they've heard me say this before. But I said last year that I prefaced it by saying this comment is going to have a 0% approval rating. Everybody's going to hate this comment on both sides. Mm-hmm. But I said that Magic Johnson was the black Donald Trump. Do you remember that?
I mean, you probably edit it out because it's an insane opinion.
All right. So now I'm not talking about the racism and the bigotry and all the terrible aspects of Donald Trump, obviously. But what I mean is they're both people who have a reputation for being great businessmen. But in both cases, the only thing that they're really good at in business, as far as I can tell, is marketing and licensing their own name. They put their name on things and get people to pay for it. They don't actually own anything. Right, Magic doesn't own the Dodgers. He owns 0.01%. He doesn't own anything. And they both just want to hang out on Twitter all day instead of doing their real jobs.
This is getting cut also.
So I think that I'm not cutting it. I think my take came out really good.
No, it's not good.
Why does it have to get cut?
All right, we'll talk about it later.
But the Donald Trump supporters hate it because I'm comparing their president to a black person and they hate black people. And the Magic Johnson fans, if there are any left, hate it because I'm comparing beloved Magic to a scumbag racist president. No. But I think it holds.
All right, no go. All right, keep going.
I'm sticking with it. Okay, so the reason I have the Lakers 13 and not 14 is I'm always torn with everything that happens to the Lakers. They are my most hated team in the NBA, and I don't want to see anything good happen to them. But I love and appreciate LeBron.
Yeah.
And so, Lakers fans deserve nothing good.
Lakers fans don't even appreciate LeBron. Absolutely.
Yeah. But, I wish LeBron had never chosen to go there. He, ruined his historic run of finals, and he's, damaging his legacy, especially for the trolls. But the thing is, I would like to see LeBron succeed, and LeBron and Zion would be fun, right?
Yeah, it would be amazing.
And if the NBA, as you said, if the NBA is cheating to manipulate the draft order, it's either
the
Lakers
are their chances
the
now that the draft sort of situation has been changed? What's their percentage
what
to the Lakers?
Oh, it's an equal 25. Oh, the Lakers. I have to look it up. Hold on. Let's see. Are they in the 12.5% chance? Or let's see. Lakers.
They can't be at 12.5.
How many? Oh, no. Yeah, they're even ahead of the Timberwolves. They won 37 games. Let's see. All right. I opened up a site with automatic playing, which is annoying. Let's see. The Knicks are at 14. The Suns are at 14. The Cavs are at 14. The Bulls are at 12.5. The Hawks are at 10.5. The Wizards are at 9. The Pellies are at 6. The Mavs are and the Hawks are both at 6. The Grizzlies are at 6. The Timberwolves are at 3, which means the Lakers are at 2. Yeah, and the Celtics via the Kings are at 1. And the Heat are at 1. And the
Hawks. Oh, so nobody has even more than 15% chance. Really, the Knicks picked a bad year to be so bad.
Yeah, that's how they reduced it. Yeah, because they're trying to...
the Knicks only have a 52% chance at a top 4 pick now.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, they're going to drop to 5. It's going to be amazing.
That will be hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I've had Knicks fans say to me, like, well, we're going to get Zion, and then we're going to have Durant and Kawhi. Like, insane things like that. Like, they actually think they're going to get 3 good players. You know who the Knicks are actually going to have?
Yeah. Who is it going to be?
Kemba Walker.
Yeah, they're going to get Kemba for sure. And he's going to fall apart in 2 years.
Yeah. Our small guard thing, can we just say now? Which we talked about a lot in the preseason, that chart summer. For how small guards do not age well, and there's basically never been a short guard, I think it was, what's it, under 6'2 or 6'2 and under, who's had a good season ever in their 30s in the history of the NBA. Yeah. Check out Chris Paul's numbers this season.
He played the exact
same number of games and almost to the minute, the same number of minutes, and his shot completely fell apart. He shot 41% from the floor this season.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were making the opposite argument. Yeah. So Chris Paul is no longer great. No. Yeah. So he's still good. I think his PR was 19.7. It had never been below 22
in
his
career. Right. He's still a really good point guard, but he's not close to the all-time.
But also, he's played 58 games each of the last 2 years. So he's playing 2/3 of the time, and he's like a borderline all-star.
Okay, but alternatively, he's much worse than he was last year when he was not at his peak anymore.
Yeah, but he's also 33. He's way older. Most of these guys fall apart.
Well, right. So Kemba, we had talked about it for Kemba, I think. Kemba, I mean, you look last night.
I think we talked about it for Kyle Lowry originally.
Kyle Lowry was the main one because in fantasy he was more relevant. But Kemba, last night, almost single-handedly, the Hornets wouldn't have made the playoffs even if they had won. They needed a win and a Pistons loss, and then it got neither. But the whole team didn't show up, but Kemba had 43 on efficient shooting. Like, he really had an incredible season. He's getting better somehow, although I do think that his next contract you'll be paying for, you know, prior production.
Yeah, it'll be like a baseball contract, yeah.
All right, so give me the other teams.
So next on my list is the Pelicans. Simply, like, after what they just did with the brow, why do they deserve to do it?
Well, but again, like, did they do it or did he do it to them? Do they have a great fan base? And how does the King Cake Baby factor into this? I feel like it would help the King Cake Baby if they got Zion.
So you have the Pelicans much higher for that reason.
Oh, no question.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. I think that actually, compared to most of these lottery teams, the lineup would work pretty well with Zion because you literally just slip him into the Davis role.
Yeah, I mean, he'll put up like 28 a game as a rookie with the Pelicans just because, like, he'll get the ball every time. It'll just be him and Holiday.
Yeah, so I don't think I think on the court that wouldn't be so bad, but nobody wants to see that, obviously.
No, put it this way: if David Stern was still there, the Pelicans would not be getting.
All right, now next, who we already talked about is the Knicks. I have him at 11. I don't want to reward the incompetence. Yeah. The only reason
James
I have above
Dolan
the heat, by
is
the way,
so
the
rich, and he, like, if you've noticed, he actually, other than like randomly kicking fans out and looking like a jackass, like, he has no sort of day to day authority over the Knicks anymore. Like, he has completely wiped his hands of them because he is sick of being told how dumb he is. So it's not even a Dolan thing. Yes, the Knicks are gross, and the Isaiah thing, and I believe Isaiah is still now he doesn't own them anymore, right? But like, Isaiah was still, last I checked, in charge of the WNBA team. But I think it will be exciting. It would totally revolutionize basketball in New York, and they would make the NBA more exciting.
So the reason I have them ahead of the Lakers and the Heat is because, first of all, the Knicks do have real fans, and also, like, at least I'd get a chance to see him play in person once in a while because I live here, although I imagine tickets will become much harder to come by. But all right, so that's next. Number 10, I have the Cavs. This garbage franchise already lucked out, winning the LeBron lottery not once but twice. They won 3 lotteries in a row, which got them Kyrie and Love, so they won their other title. So they deserve nothing for a generation, but, like, I have more sympathy for a Midwest city than I do for, like, Florida.
Could we also get a scenario in a couple of years where LeBron comes back to Cleveland with Zion? Like, that'd be exciting.
I mean, when he left the first time, no one ever thought he'd come back, so it's not impossible. But I think it's clear that he left Cleveland for the Lakers this time, not for basketball reasons.
Yeah, I mean, right? What about... We don't talk enough about the Anthony Bennett stuff. Like, they freaking picked Anthony Bennett.
How bad
of
a pick that was?
Like, yeah. In the G League right now with their first pick.
Yeah. Oh, is he even in the G League?
He is in the G League. I think he's actually pretty good.
I'm surprised to hear that he's actually making money playing basketball. Yes. So good for him. Yeah, it made no sense at the time. It made no sense at any point. Yeah. All right, so they're number 10. Number 9, I have the Bulls. Like, I understand, like, first of all, can we say now that, like, the injuries to Derrick Rose and everyone else on that team, it wasn't bad. Was it bad luck, or was it, like, the inevitable result of Tibbs?
No, it was Tibbs basically causes injuries. I think he could blame Tibbs.
Okay, so if that's true, I feel a little bit bad for them. You know, but also, like, this franchise already won 6 titles, and, like, they don't need any sympathy until all the fans who are old enough to remember MJ have died off, or at least acknowledge that LeBron is better. So, yeah, the Bulls don't need Zion.
I do think it would be interesting. The Bulls ownership certainly does not deserve... They've done nothing to this, you know, they're still getting mocked over the Jordan Bell, you know, selling, although Jordan Bell kind of sucks now, so maybe they were smart to take $3 million.
I think
it would be interesting to see Zion and Lauri Markkanen. I don't know how well they'd play together. The Bulls, they have more young talent than the Knicks, though.
Yeah, they have more pieces. Well, so let's get to number 8. Number 8, I have the Grizzlies. So Mike Conley, you know, has value as a mentor, but he's never made an all-star team, and he's facing the steep crater that affects all the NBA little guys as they enter their 30s that we just talked about. So, like, the only long-term piece that the Grizzlies have right now is Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, I don't even know how 3J and Zion play together, but, like, I'd prefer to see Zion go to a team.
Oh, this would be sleepy.
Like,
to me, this is almost my... In terms of, like, what would make the NBA more exciting... along with New Orleans, this is the very bottom of the list. Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, like, what? Who's the third best player? Like, their third best player is like Jonas Valanciunas, who, by the way, is a free agent. Although he put up 20 and 10 after the Gasol. Somehow the Grizzlies.
I just think it would be one of the only things about Memphis or New Orleans is, like, his usage would be off the charts. So he could really become a superstar right away by just shooting.
Well, but how do 3J and Zion play together?
I mean, who cares? I don't care about the Grizzlies.
All right. But the Grizzlies have no other pieces. So, yeah. So, they're all right. Number 7, I have the Suns. This is a team that has never known what they're doing, nor do they seem to be interested in trying. I also think that Devin Booker would be bad for Zion. He's like a ball hog gunner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if you didn't like seeing R.J. Barrett shooting in the last minute of every Duke game, it would be much worse than Phoenix. I also don't know how DeAndre Ayton and Zion would complement each other. So... I don't know how these pieces go together, but, like, at least this team has several young pieces, which is more than...
I would be interesting. It would be interesting. They'd get a Sports Illustrated cover out of it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Number 6, I have the Hornets. You know, Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time when it comes to making terrible moves as an owner, and Kemba Walker is about to leave as a 6'1", maybe more like 5'11", 29-year-old free agent. He's going to get paid, probably not by the Hornets. And, like, the Hornets do not have a single other foundational piece under age 30.
No, they don't even have, like, they barely have like rotational piece. Forget about foundational.
Yeah. So the only reason I have the Hornets this high is, A, if they bring Kemba back, at least we have, you know, an all-star point guard to play with Zion for at least 1 or 2 years before he falls apart.
But again, what's that team doing? Even if Zion is like an obvious rookie of the year, like, what is that team doing with, you know, with your two stars like Kemba and Zion? Like, are you the fifth seed in the East? Probably not.
All right, so now let's get to the top 5. So number 5, I have the Sixers. This is the pick that they get from the Kings. They're already really good, and, like, I don't like further rewarding the process, and Philly fans are obviously disgusting human beings, but, like, let's be honest. You add Zion to that team, that would be amazing.
Sacramento?
No, Sacramento has to give their pick to the Sixers.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. No, that would be exciting.
No, here's my question. That would be exciting. So let's say if they won that, would they no longer... I know, we're ranking all 14 teams. If they won the lottery, would they let Tobias Harris go? Because they don't need him then.
I mean,
Harris and Zion and Embiid.
Problems. Who cares? You win the Zion, you could him down the river. Who cares about Tobias Harris at that point?
Number 4, and this is the team that, like Bill Simmons had at the bottom of his list when he did it, but, like, I have the Wizards.
Oh, this is an original,
like,
idea? Bill Simmons did this?
Well, I don't know. He didn't know. He didn't rank all 14, but they talked about how they really don't want to see Zion go to Washington specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, first, okay, so here's the good. Here's a feather in the Wizards' cap. They finally get rid of Ernie Grunfeld. Everybody hates on John Wall and his contract, but, like, and he might not be healthy next year, but let's say he's healthy the year after that. Like, other than the Sixers, there's no team in the lottery that has a better foursome than Zion, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, and John
Wall. You're waiting a long time. I mean, Wall might miss 2020. And at that point, what is he when
even,
he comes back?
Even Beal and Zion, I think that's that's for sure a playoff
team. Yeah, I mean, any team in the East Zion goes to, I think, is basically a playoff team, other than maybe like the Knicks or the Cavs.
Yeah. All right. Well, then the next one, it would be an exciting team. Atlanta Hawks, number three. So, look, Atlanta has, like, weak fans, and they deserve to be mocked forever for giving up Luka to get Trae Young.
But the people who go, I feel like, are loyal. They, to the best of my knowledge, they don't have, like, deplorable ownership. Like, Atlanta would be – it would be a nice story, I think.
Well, here's the thing. I think that Trae Young and John Collins are – that's a good young tandem. You add Zion to that, that's a team with a point guard. I think that would be a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my only question is, how do Collins and Zion play together? And that's to say nothing of, like, Dwayne Dedmon. Like, they also have, like, because neither Collins nor Zion is a center. This team also doesn't have any shooting.
All right, we don't have to worry about, like, how they play. It's more of, like,
Torian Prince, Kevin Herter.
We don't have to really focus on that.
Okay. Number two is the Mavs. Cuban is unlikable, obviously, but Luka and Zinger are going to be an amazing combo. You fit Zion in there seamlessly. This team will win the West every single year as soon as the Warriors fall apart. I mean, come on. How exciting will that be? Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, Zion Williamson.
I mean, Kristaps might be in jail. I don't know if he's going to be on this team.
That's true. We'll have to wait and see. And then number one, and obviously I'm just saying this because I'm a Timberwolves fan. I want to go to the Timberwolves. Like, I acknowledge, though, the Timberwolves are an irrelevant franchise. Although I will say this in my defense. Kat is the best player on any lottery team other than the Sixers, I guess, with Embiid.
A real lottery team.
Zion and
Kat.
Yeah, Zion and Kat would immediately be the best.
Is Kat the best player in the lottery? Well, Davis, I guess, but he doesn't count. He's leaving. Yeah, I guess he is, right?
Kat and Embiid are the best players on a team that's in the lottery, that's under contract.
No, LeBron.
I forgot the Lakers in the lottery. Totally.
Yeah, LeBron is better than Karl-Anthony Towns.
Forgot about that. But by the way, like, let's say this Timberwolves get Zion. So now they start Kat at center, Zion at power forward, Rocco at small forward. They stick Andrew Wiggins on the bench. And now the only problem is that this team doesn't have a single guard on their team. But other than that minor issue.
Yeah, no, it's not a disastrous spot for the NBA.
No, it is. Short term, it's an irrelevant franchise.
Short term, it doesn't excite people.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, there's nothing that Minnesota Timberwolves can do that can excite people outside of Minnesota. Although that's actually a couple years ago, people were excited.
I mean, Teague has some health issue that I've never even heard of before.
No, he's a little guard and he's on the wrong side of 30. He's done. All right.
There's really not a lot there. I that team is, were you like building around D. Rose and Covington? Like, I don't know.
No, Rose is not coming back. I mean, I like Covington, but no, they literally don't have a single starting caliber guard on their team. It's really a problem.
Karl-Anthony Towns shot 40% from three. He's like 7'1", and
he could be the greatest
every free throw.
He's an offensive weapon that's like unprecedented in NBA history. It's ridiculous.
He has a different skill set than Jokic, but they are both like extremely unique players in NBA history.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and Embiid is also similar.
But I'd also have to say, like, at the end of the day, you like not coming close to the play. Yeah, I mean, I know they have no team, but like, I don't, if you're that good, you should be able to win a lot of games on your own, Karl-Anthony.
I mean, they're in the West, and they—if you take away the bad start with Butler, they would have made the playoffs. Because now, obviously, the last couple weeks they tanked, but they started 4-9 under Butler, and then after he left, they were at like about a 44-45 win pace. So they would have, they might have had a chance. But anyways, that's moot. But they have no guards; they're in trouble. All right, let's run through our awards, and then we'll get to the playoffs. So, Coach of the Year, I have Coach Bud. Do you have any disagreement there?
No, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Clifford on the Magic did a good job. Doc Rivers obviously did a good job. Kenny Atkinson of Brooklyn did a good job. But
Kenny Atkinson is an interesting one. It's a different level. Like, usually it goes to...
Yeah, you got to win more than 42 games.
Coaches.
Yeah, although Doc Rivers won it that year in Orlando when he only won. Now, I was thinking for Executive of the Year, and obviously I didn't look into this intensely, but like I think Sean Marks on Brooklyn would probably get it because like Brooklyn's done a really good job setting themselves up for the future.
That's true. I think they
got D'Angelo for nothing. I almost wish they had missed the playoffs because imagine if you added Zion to that starting lineup.
Well, it wouldn't do anything. Like the rest of the starting lineup is not that good. So now the question is it a better team than we realize or is it just all the coach?
I think if you added Zion to this team, they'd be like the Boston Celtics.
No, I don't know. do you know, have you seen the NBA playoff schedule yet?
I mean, like, I don't know exactly when every game is being played. I know
who's playing. We talk every year about what the NBA TV series is. Do you know what the NBA TV series is?
Well, it's...
Do you want to take a guess?
Well, it's clearly in the East, right? Because the whole East is garbage. Probably,
take a guess.
Probably the Magic. I think it has to be the Magic series, right?
No, it's the Spurs Nuggets.
Really? Why?
Yeah. There's only three first-round NBA TV games scheduled right now, but two of them are Spurs Nuggets. It might be a timing thing, but I guess like people don't care about the Spurs
right now. Who
wants to
watch Magic Raptors? The Raptors always disappointed. I guess because they always... I mean, first of all, there's a bigger star. I mean, Bucks Pistons is going to be a sweep, but I guess you get to watch Giannis.
Yeah.
I think Philly Brooklyn could be a little interesting. I mean, people just bored of the Spurs.
I think Philly Brooklyn had the other NBA TV game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It was an Eastern
to
conference.
To me, Toronto Orlando should be, so I think that's wrong, but whatever.
Or maybe Toronto Orlando had the third one. I'm not sure. Right. Yeah, Spurs Nuggets is the NBA TV series.
By the way, this is what the Nets lineup would be if they were to get Zion. It'd be D'Angelo Russell.
No, let's not talk about
that.
Fine.
Who cares? Okay,
yeah.
Fine. All right. So we're not talking about that. All right. Most improved player. I think it's a two-horse race between De'Aaron Fox and Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, Siakam, I think, is going to win.
Yeah,
I haven't really liked...
I think Siakam will win, but I would actually vote for Fox because Fox was like a -2 win share player. Like, Fox was like...
Yeah, but it usually goes from... He's not the type of guy who usually wins it.
Yes, the difference between the Fox and Siakam like just didn't have playing time last year. He had good numbers.
Right.
He just didn't, so nobody...
But it works against the other way because like Fox had decent numbers, but not according to...
Yeah, but
like
Fox's minutes stayed the same. But yeah, he scored 11 points a game last year, but now he scored 17. But I mean, his shooting went way up, so I would give it to Fox, but whatever. Defensive player of the year, again, I think it's a two-horse race between Gobert and Giannis, but Gobert is going to win it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I?
Thankfully, he sat out last night when one block could have cost me the fantasy NBA championship.
Yeah, can I?
Thank you, Rudy.
Can I give you my all-defense teams very quickly?
No, in the Facebook group, you're going
to
do that.
Okay, fine. Sixth man has to be Montrezl Harrell. It might not be. If Lou Williams gets it again for scoring empty 20 points a game, I'll be annoyed. Like, Montrezl Harrell was a borderline all-star. In fact, that argument should have been...
What about Terrence Ross putting up 35 last night? There were so many. You should just do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Even if you don't follow the NBA, just click through all the box scores from Wednesday night, from the last night of the season. You will have to click on so many first names to see who these...
Grayson Allen had 40 points!
Like, people you've never heard of scoring 34.
Yeah. It was really Cameron. What's his name on the Timberwolves? I forgot his last name even. Some scrub had like 27 points. Yeah, the last night of the NBA season is ridiculous. So I have Montrezl Harrell winning sixth man, and I have DeMontis Sabonis second, and then I guess the Williams is probably third. But Spencer Dinwiddie would be in there.
Walt Lemon Jr. had 20 last night. By the way, there was a guy. I'm blanking on which team now. Who I saw like the previous few nights. He had just been like putting up a triple double. And I put him in as like my last ad in a fantasy basketball league. And he, yes, wouldn't you know it? Like, he was a guaranteed triple double. This guy you've never heard of.
Yeah. So is D Wade has only had 5 triple doubles in his entire career.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's also why you look back the Kobe. What was it? 61, 62? How many points did he score that last
60.
Night?
He had 60.
Yeah,
60.
I mean, like, it's so bogus in hindsight. It was against...
It's
the
meaningless.
Team that
yeah, Grayson Allen had 40. But like, Dwayne Wade only having 5 triple-doubles in his whole career just accentuates how insane Russell Westbrook is, that he's averaged a triple-double for 3 years in a row now.
Yeah.
It's just bonkers. All right, now I'm going to drop a hot take on you.
DeLon Wright with guaranteed triple-double.
Who do you think I have for Rookie of the Year? Because I got a spicy take coming.
So just tell me.
I don't have Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Trae Young.
You have Jackson?
No, I have DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, really? Okay. But you don't think his points were kind of empty?
I mean, all these guys' points were empty.
Can I take you back to the League of Leagues rookie basketball draft this past summer?
Yeah, I know.
When
I said Ayton was worthless.
Worthless, unbuyable. You would not spend $1 on him, and it was the bad decision.
All right, and then our final award, of course, is MVP. I've been saying this all year. It's Giannis. It's not even close. It's annoying to me that like there's people on Harden's side. Like, look, his 36 points per game is incredible feat. His defense was much better, but nobody saw anything coming from the Bucks. Like, and they blew past everybody. They easily had the best record in the league. Giannis is the best player in the league. He's if not the defense player of the year, he's second behind Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
And he put up 28, 13, and 6. And that's
a power forward with 6 assists.
Yeah, and he plays 28 minutes a game because he doesn't have to play because his team is blowing off.
Yeah, he barely plays
also.
Yeah, it's true.
It's unbelievable.
His per 36 numbers are insane.
Yeah. Like, I understand, like, Harden played 500 more minutes than him, But like, and this used to be like an argument for Harden over Curry. But like, you can't punish Giannis for being so good.
Well, you say this about Kawhi also. It's like, yeah, because when the Spurs were good, their good players would never play in the fourth quarter. Ever.
Yeah, now Kawhi's a little
different. He shot 58% from the floor. This is a guy who shoots so many threes and doesn't even hit them, which means he shoots 64% from two.
Who, Giannis? Yeah, but they want him to shoot threes because they it's the right way for him to play for when he finally learns how to hit them.
Did you see that Harden shot well over 1,000 threes this season?
Yeah.
That's so crazy. I mean,
Harden's season was incredible. And
he won the scoring title by 8 points a game.
Yeah. Harden had an incredible, incredible season.
Did and you see also, guess how many guys averaged over 25.5 points per game this season?
Well, should I name them or do you just want to give you a number?
Just, you could name them.
All right. So Giannis and Harden, we said.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, Joel Embiid. LeBron and Anthony Davis count, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anybody?
Paul George is second in the league.
Oh, Paul George. Yeah, Paul George had 28 points a game. Yeah, didn't mention him.
Did you say Kawhi?
Kawhi. Yeah, Kawhi had had his best scoring season.
Booker.
Towns came close, but Towns did not have 25. He had 24.
No, Towns is 15th. Booker, Kemba and Beal each had 25.6.
Yeah. Beal put up monster numbers in the second half. So did Kemba. Yeah.
So that's
a lot of scores.
13 guys with 25.5. 4 years ago, two guys had 25.5.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, all these guys, like, you look at these seasons in, like, the early aughts when, like, Duncan and KG were finishing first and second in the MVP every year, putting up, like, 22 and 12. Now, they're also both, you know, world-class defensive players, obviously. But, like, that would not be a top-five NBA finish right now, especially KG doing it for, like, a 45-win team.
No, I agree. But it's a different sport.
Yeah.
Let's get to the playoff matchups.
All right. So, wait. Let me – all right. I was going to give my all-NBA teams, which – but yeah.
Fine. No, do that in the Facebook group.
All right. That'll go in the Facebook group. Okay. All right. So, let's jump into the playoffs. Your Spurs, as always, in the playoffs. My Timberwolves showed up once in 15 years.
It's weird because it was such a playoff game last night because you knew if the Spurs had to play the Warriors, it's just, you know, it's nice to make the playoffs, but at that point, you're the Atlanta Hawks. You're going to be done in a week or in 4 weeks as the NBA first round goes.
Well, this is the same thing that happened last. Yeah.
There is literally a series, by the way. I think it's the Warriors-Clippers series that starts on a Saturday, and if there's a Game 7, which there won't be, but if there was a Game 7, is... It's
3 weeks later.
It's the Sunday. It would be a 15-day series. I've never seen that. No, I don't think there's ever been 15. There might be one time where it's like, yeah, that's just for TV reasons. Like, they play Sunday, and then they play Thursday.
Yeah.
But overall, to have 15 days is insane.
I want four games every night. I want every other day. Everybody's playing every other day.
Well, then everyone should make the playoffs. So you have more options.
Yeah. So So the West is the same as last year. One game difference vaults you from like the 4 seed to the 8 seed. It's like really dramatic.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like the 2, 3, and 4 were still fighting, and the 6, 7, and 8 were still fighting on the last.
I mean,
night.
The Nuggets. Really Utah was locked. I mean, I talked about this in our basketball WhatsApp group, but the Nuggets were losing to the Timberwolves 95-84 by 11 points with 3 minutes to go. If they lose that game, it's in Denver, by the way. Nobody's playing for the Timberwolves. Everybody's playing for the Nuggets. I don't know how that happened. But if the Timberwolves win, if the Nuggets lose, they drop to the 4 seed. And I think the Rockets would be the 2 or something. And then the Timberwolves wanted the loss to get like one more percentage point for the lottery balls. They gave up a 15-0 run in the last 3 minutes of the game.
But the players don't care about the lottery. Like, that's one of the misconceptions. Like,
Gorgui Dieng was shooting 3-pointers in those last 3 minutes.
I mean, maybe so. That has to be like coach.
There's the famous Mark Madsen game for the Timberwolves, where Madsen, who had never shot a three in his life, attempted 11 threes in the fourth quarter in overtime of Game 82 one season.
They just shouldn't be allowed to play in the NBA once you're eliminated. It should just be like an automatic win for the other team.
Yeah, So the Nuggets end up coming back to win that one miraculously, and now they're the 2 seed, which makes a huge difference because they can. I think the Nuggets now, you know,
well that quadrant, someone's going to make the conference finals. That's
exactly.
Not the Warriors, not the Rockets, and some people thought the Jazz were the third best team in the conference.
Well, I think that Houston is the biggest challenge to the Warriors, but instead of facing them in the conference finals like last year, where obviously they would have won if they didn't have historically bad three-point shooting in Game 7, and they didn't have Chris Paul.
They'll get them in the second round, but that might be better because they're an old team. That might be better for them.
So it's early, less chance for Chris Paul to get injured, you're saying?
Yeah, less chance for Paul to get hurt, basically, or Harden to wear down.
All right, so let's make predictions for these series. So Warriors, Clippers, obviously Warriors in 4, Warriors in 5, what do you say?
I think the Warriors don't really have their eye on the ball as much. I do think they lose a game to the Clippers, yeah. But Warriors in five.
Also, like, Durant or Curry usually gets injured for a couple games in the first couple rounds.
Yeah, Curry, I believe, skipped the whole first round last year, if I remember.
Yeah, correctly. Takes it off. All right, Houston-Utah's a good series. You feel bad for Utah, you know, after getting stabbed in the back by Gordon Hayward. And, you know, this team just continuously builds back again. I think that Donovan Mitchell is one of the most overrated players in the league, although he also put up like 27 a game in the second half.
He put up 23.8, but I think everyone acknowledges he really had a sort of a bounce back in the wrong way sophomore season.
Well, the first half of the season, he really struggled. But
He's been playing a little better, but he really hasn't been hitting shots all year. Listen, he's a good player. He's still better than you thought he would be. He just, I don't think he's going to be like a every year All-Star.
Yeah, but I love Rudy Gobert. I have him sixth on my MVP ballot. The problem is, even if they were to beat Houston, he's like worthless against the Warriors.
You also, by the way, said that Ingles is useless and cut him last year in fantasy.
Yeah,
Ingles
he had eight assists a game in the second half. Yeah, he had a really good year.
He played every game. Yeah. They're an interesting team. Someone was writing, I think it was maybe Zach Lowe, about how Derek Favors was not an all-star, but he was like a top 50 player, and he's like the exact same guy, and he has completely been like obviated by like the entire nature of the sport.
Yeah,
at this point, like Derek Favors, like he's a nice like instant offense, 20 minutes off the bench guy, and Crowder is an interesting guy. Like, they don't have a ton of depth. I think it's going to be a really good series. I do think it'll go 6 or 7, but I like Houston.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Bill Simmons and some of these idiots have been talking about, like, historically where to put James Harden, and they already want to put him, like, top five all-time among guards, which is insane to me. Can we see James Harden play well in the playoffs once before we stick him in the Hall of Fame?
I agree. I agree.
So, I mean, he's always been a player. And there's some guys who play well and their team just loses. You know, like Kevin Garnett had that, or even T-Mac. Like Harden plays poorly and his team loses. It's his fault. His team has lost series that they're expected to win. So, but I think Houston's going to win. I'll say 6 games. All right, Portland-OKC. OKC's the 6th seed, but they swept Portland in the regular season, and they are like they're the strong favorites in this series, actually.
Yeah, I think everyone's picking OKC. They're the Vegas favorite, you're saying.
Yeah. And also remember, last year it was 3-6 Portland against New Orleans, and New Orleans swept Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And now Portland doesn't have, and obviously, you know, Nurkic is injured, which is a big loss.
It's a big loss. So as a Spurs fan, I really wanted to hit Portland. Denver is not a disaster.
Portland tried to lose on purpose last night. They did not want to be the 3 seed. They only dressed 6 guys yesterday. It was crazy. They were losing by like 28 points, and they came back and won because, as you said, sometimes the players screw up your plans of trying to tank. All these problems could be solved if leagues did what our fantasy leagues do, which is you get to pick your opponent. The 1 seed picks their opponent, the 2 seed. Because obviously, if you did it that way, the Warriors would have picked the Clippers, right?
Yeah. And you could have like a whole night, like literally right after the games, like go.
It'd be amazing.
TNT has a show. It would be great.
Yeah, it's bulletin board material. It would be awesome, of course. I don't know why leagues don't do this. In the olden days, you couldn't do it because of scheduling or travel, but now,
Yeah, now you could do it.
Yeah. Well, let's redo it. So let's pretend the NBA did that. So the Warriors would have picked the Clippers, right?
Well, they have a choice between 5 and 8.
They can pick any team between,
They might pick the Spurs, to be honest. But I guess you could say the Clippers.
Fine. So then the Nuggets would pick the other one of those two. Okay. So then
Nuggets
Portland.
The Spurs, yeah.
So Portland would have basically picked Utah, and then you would have had Houston OKC, which would have been great.
No, Portland picks OKC. Portland picks OKC.
No, they don't. Portland. No, you're wrong. Portland hates OKC more than any. OKC swept.
But people
Portland
are saying
year.
That you. But people are saying that Utah is right now is
Portland.
Ball
Portland.
Than OKC.
Portland would rather face the Warriors. Portland cannot beat OKC. I have no idea why. Lillard does really well against Golden State. Mm-hmm. They got swept by OKC. They were trying to lose last night. Portland did not want to face OKC, I'm telling you. They wanted to face Utah or anybody else.
Yeah, I don't think this is a 3 seed in the Western Conference caliber team, Portland. I have OKC in 7.
Yeah, I have OKC I'll say in 6 to win the home game in game 6. So, all right, and then Denver, San Antonio. I think it'll go 6.
They split their 4 games all at home. They were close until the last one recently where the Nuggets blew the doors off the Spurs, which is concerning. The Spurs don't really have a way to stop Jokic. I don't know if I'm not a big fan of Aldridge in the playoffs. I do think he lives on the 16-footer where lazy defenders in the regular season will give him the shot. Whereas when people are cracking down, that's like one of the first things to go in the playoffs. Better defenders and players playing harder. By the way, speaking of Harden shooting 1,000 threes, the Spurs' 2 main scorers combined to hit 17 threes this season.
Yeah, it's
right?
crazy.
Aldridge shoots a few but doesn't hit them. And do you know what DeRozan, guess how many threes he shot?
Attempts? 9?
Yeah, 44. Guess how many he hit?
Oh, 9.
Seven 44 from three. Yeah. It's always like, why does he shoot more threes? And it's crazy because like the Spurs like manufactured really three-point shooters. Like the Spurs took Davis Bertans and made him the best three-point shooter in the league for most of the season.
Well, 5 years ago, the Spurs, in fact, like in the when they were playing like, you know, the Heat, the LeBron Heat in the finals,
the second
they
were series, like, yeah.
Yeah, they were like the team that led the league in three-pointers every year.
Well, they and now do shoot like a lot of threes. It's just all comes from four guys. It's all the two bench guards, Bellinelli and Mills.
No,
and
but now Bryn they're like dead last. I think they're like 28th in three-point attempts or something. They're really, really low.
They have four guys, like Forbes and Gay. All four of those guys, Forbes and Bertans. Gay does shoot threes also. Rudy Gay, by the way, very quietly had a really good year. He shot 40% from three, 50% from the line, and he had a real chance at 50-40-90, but he missed a lot of free throws at the end of the year. So they have four guys who only shoot threes, literally never shoot twos. So if those shots go in, they'll win a game. But it's just too unrealistic for them to win more than two or three games. So I have the Nuggets in, I almost want to say five. I think the Nuggets will win in five. I just don't think the Spurs have the firepower. And now, just like,
by the way, this is crazy. This is crazy. The Spurs are attempted the fewest threes in the league, right?
Yeah.
And they had the highest three-point percentage in the league. That makes no sense.
Well, it's almost like they literally couldn't shoot more because Aldridge and DeRozan, you'd basically need them not to shoot at a certain point. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
But it's just
because, look at how many threes Mills and Bellinelli don't shoot twos. Bertans only shoots threes. Like, these guys launch a lot. The problem is their two main usage guys don't shoot threes. So it does feel like they shoot. Their bench probably shoots as many threes, like at least as an average team. But because they have two guys on the court at all times who don't shoot threes, it's tricky. And I just don't know if it's going to work in the playoffs. It certainly didn't work last year. But looking at the Spurs, like, big picture, they're also really old. Like, Aldridge's in his 30s, Gay's in his 30s, DeRozan's turning 30 next year.
Yeah.
Bellinelli and Mills are a million years old. Like, there's really not a lot of upside. Now, DeJounte Murray, everyone thought would have an absolute superstar year, and he missed the entire season.
Tragedy.
He will be back. And Derek White gave them really good minutes, but I think he's, like, at best a backup. So there's really not a big core. And now, next year, you're looking at paying Aldridge and DeRozan, you know, $60 million. Like, they don't have money to spend on another good player. So, to be honest, you look at this team, like, Pop did a really good job. You know, getting, you know, a game away from the sixth seed with this team is not that bad. Like, the third best player on this team is Rudy Gay, who's 33 and is always injured.
Yeah. But Pop did, they won the same number of games last year without Kawhi. This year, at least, they got DeRozan. I mean, Pop always does a great job.
Yeah.
The two teams that had no business making the playoffs in the West were the Clippers and the Spurs. And they took the spots on the Lakers.
I agree. It's embarrassing that, like even with all their problems, the Lakers should have beaten both of these teams. You could even argue the Kings should have beaten both these teams.
Yeah. But I mean, the Spurs do have two top 25 players.
I mean, the Kings coach got fired. Like, I do think the Kings underperformed.
You think they underperformed?
Yeah, their coach just got fired. If they did a good job, they wouldn't have fired their coach.
Wait, when did this happen?
The Kings fired their coach in the last couple hours.
Oh.
You're
not up to date. Yeah. Oh, that's
and maybe there's a personality
I wanted him for the Wolves. I like him, so I'm surprised. Yeah, who knows? I mean, who knows what that team is doing?
Supposedly they want Luke Walton, who is still technically.
Yeah, I thought he's not going to get fired though. Now that
Well, now somebody wants him. Maybe I don't know how it works. I wouldn't give any draft picks or anything for Luke Walton. But let's see. All right. Are we missing? Did we finish all four West Conference first round series?
Yeah. All right. So now let's stay in the West before we go to the East. So Warriors, Rockets. I think that's going seven games.
Yeah, I think I'll say Warriors in six. I just think this Warriors team, for whatever reason, like, I think they will get better in the playoffs, just like more time with, like, actually taking it seriously with all big five playing with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do think, like, for whatever reason, just feels like a worse team than the last 2 years.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
Like, there's something missing. They're a little checked out.
In the regular season, but not in the playoffs.
Well, we'll see.
Which would surprise you more? The Warriors not winning the NBA Finals?
Yeah.
Or the Warriors pulling off a 16-0? Never before done.
16-0. 16-0 would surprise. This year, 16-0 would surprise me.
I would be more surprised if they don't win the Finals.
I don't think so.
Hold on. Will you give me the Warriors and I'll give you the field?
No, I think they're going to win. I would take the Warriors over the field, but not at 16-0. Like, because whoever comes out of the East is going to be really good. It's not going to be a one-man band. Like, it's a much better team than whoever won the East last year.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know what it's going to be yet. But
so we have Warriors over Rockets at 6 or 7, yeah. And then OKC Denver. I think that's a really good series.
It is a really good series. It's going to be wild. It's going to be on at like 2 in the morning every night.
Now, these are two teams who have not played. I think OKC's won like 5 in a row, but in most
correct
of the second
me,
half.
Nikola has teams, not played in a playoff game yet, right?
Who?
Jokic. He's not played in the playoff game.
Correct.
So this is really going to be his coming out party. We don't know what to expect. Like, he could raise his game a level, technically. He needs to be the best player. I mean, this is very basic analysis. He needs to be the best player in that series. He needs to be better than George and Westbrook.
Paul George has I don't know if he's been hurt or what, but he's been much worse the second half of the year.
It's true, but also, I don't know. I feel like they've been mailing it in for a while. The Nuggets will have a home game if it's game 7.
Okay, so your prediction for Nuggets Thunder, final prediction?
I'm going to say Thunder in 7.
All right, I'm going to say Nuggets in... Sure, I'll say 7. Make it exciting. And then
doesn't matter. The Warriors are beating them. Warriors in 5.
Okay. Yeah, I think the Rockets are going to be the Warriors' toughest test in the second round. We saw that last year. All right, so let's go to the East. Who's going to face the Warriors? Mm-hmm. For the first time in like 10 years, we have drama in the East because LeBron is gone. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, there are four teams that would not embarrass themselves. Like, they might get embarrassed, but they're worthy finalists, I think, to different degrees.
Are you including the Celtics?
Well, I mean, if somehow they like found their way as a team, from a talent perspective, there have been far worse teams to make the NBA Finals.
Yes, from a talent perspective, that's fair. All right, so Milwaukee's going to sweep Detroit. That especially Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I don't think
now.
Their games were even close in the regular season. Milwaukee, Detroit. Yeah. Detroit's happy to be there.
Yeah. Celtics are going to cruise by. When Victor Oladipo first went down, the Pacers actually got even better, which sort of shocked everybody. But then they really cooled down in the second half.
And yeah, there's not a playoff team without Oladipo.
I'll say Celtics in 5.
I mean, it's impressive that they're a fifth seed. They did a great job, but
Say Celtics in 5.
Who's getting the ball in crunch time? Bogdanovic? Like, this is ridiculous.
But he's been like their leading scorer. He was averaging like 20.
He's good. No, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but if he's your best player, you're probably not winning a playoff series.
I made like a free agent ranking. I had him like 16th or something like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's a good player.
Yeah. Bojan Bogdan, always confusing. All right. So I have Celtics in 5.
Mm-hmm. I'll do the same thing. They'll just absolutely melt down one game.
Philly, Brooklyn, I think that's going to be a good series. I love the Nets. They're one of my favorite teams to watch.
The Nets play really hard. I think Philly in 5. They're just the talent is so, you know, the best player is on Philly, but like the second best player and the third best player also are on Philly.
Yeah. I'll say, can it go to 6? I'll say 5.5. Maybe it goes to 6. All right, Toronto, Orlando. Orlando has been like the hottest team in the league. Like, what are they, 22-8 or something like that over the last 30 games of the season?
Yeah,
something.
They're white hot, Orlando.
Vooch could be in the competition for most improved player. He was already solid, but he became like, I mean, where is he on my MVP ballot? Let's take a little gander here. I have Vooch number 13 on my MVP ballot. Who saw that?
Yeah, Vooch has been great. Gordon's been really good. Fournier has put up stuff. Terrence Russell 35 last night.
Yeah.
By the way, Jonathan Simmons, another every single Spurs guy who goes gets like this big contract. Like it happened Memphis this year with Kyle Anderson. Like, don't sign the guys who look weirdly good on the Spurs. They
well, except Danny Green. Danny Green's looked really good this year for the Raptors.
Green would never. It's weird because Green is literally a 3-and-D guy who absolutely can't dribble.
Yeah, who they discussed being an NBA Finals MVP for like 3 games 1 year.
That's fine. No, he has a very unique skill set. You can't turn the Spurs 20-minute-a-guy players into 32-minute-a-guy players. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Green is doing you're the one who used to argue that like your backup point guards were better than like, you know, most All-Star point guards. But I'm glad you finally learned the area of your ways.
I think Patty Mills is underrated.
Yeah, you love Patty Mills. All right, so Raptors, how many games does it take them to dispatch the Magic?
What happens? What does Elliot and the what does Sean Elliott and say when they and the announcers say when they when Patty Mills hits a 3?
I don't know.
Good day, Patty. He yells. Good. The Spurs have the worst announcers in the world, and it is unbearable to listen to. Like, it's like, what would you have been if you were a White Sox fan? Shout out Josh Cantor. Yeah. Like, with the awful, you know, unlistenable Hawk Harrelson, who like wants to actually charge the field and start a fight with the umpire and the other team every game.
Well,
but that when it's your team, it's really weird.
Yeah, Sean Elliott is like the poor man's Reggie Miller in my head. Both
no, he's the homeless. No, like as an announcer, he's like the homeless. Like it's not just that he like roots for the team. Like he thinks he's still on the team, Sean Elliott.
Yeah, well, Tommy Heinsohn's like that for the Celtics.
Elliott's just lucky that the Spurs, like, good players are too good to take his job. So he still has his gig, like, 20 years later. Like, Duncan's not going to become a play-by-play guy for the local broadcast.
Yeah, that's not happening. All right, so here's the question about the
Raptors. Did you know that the Bobcats stopped playing, excuse me, the Hornets stopped playing, what's it called? Tony Parker down the stretch this year, and this is his first year in his 18-year career, he's not in the playoffs.
Sorry to hear
that. He was giving them instant offense off the bench, like 17, 18 minutes. They're like, oh, we're going to go young. They don't have any good players. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, so they don't have a single piece under age 30.
It didn't make any sense. I get it from a long-term perspective, but there's no way Parker wasn't one of their best nine players. So he was actually scoring points this year.
Yeah.
And they benched him.
Yeah. My question about the Raptors is... is it the same old Raptors and they're going to have some pathetic playoff collapse? It's going to take them seven games.
Well, it's a totally different team.
Because of Kawhi?
It's a completely different team.
Siakam.
Kawhi, and they even have Marc Gasol.
Yeah. Well, Marc Gasol has put up, 9-6 since he got there. Meanwhile, again, Jonas put up 20-10 for the Grizzlies.
If Marc Gasol's basically your bench sort of, second team scoring, I think you're in good shape.
I mean, to me, I just... Now, Kawhi before, you like to talk endlessly about those three quarters he played against the Warriors in game one of the conference finals.
And game six against the Rockets when he ended James Harden's life.
Yeah, so we've seen Kawhi take a team, sort of a team with no other all-stars before, although I would argue that Pascal Siakam is playing like an all-star right now.
Yeah.
But
by the way, Serge Ibaka's basically playing like an all-star recently. He's been amazing. Serge's been really good.
Since he came back from injury?
Yeah, Serge's been great.
All right. So
this
I
is a team with a lot of playoff experience.
I have Raptors Magic going to six games.
Raptors in five. And by the way, Kyle Lowry, they don't need to rely on him. If he's tanking in the playoffs and he hasn't even had
Kyle Lowry is the Eastern Conference version of Chris Paul. He's old, he's small, he's hurt, he's on the wrong side, and he hasn't done anything in the playoffs.
He might be smaller than Paul, by the way.
Yeah, I think he is. No, he is for sure. Well, I don't know, because you can never trust those measurements. We need Jared Jerome to tell us.
That's true.
Yeah. Superfan Jared, let us know how tall each one is. All right, so Raptors, Sixers, that's a great series in the second round.
Yeah, that will be fantastic.
I mean, Sixers have more talent. Ben Simmons in a series is in a lot of trouble.
Because, yeah, I agree.
And for the record, I have Ben Simmons on my third All-NBA team. Name me six better guards in the NBA this year. When you take into account team performance.
I
don't care about Bradley Beal and Kemba Walker on these garbage teams.
When's the last time the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs were better, much more exciting than the West? If the four good teams make it, then this is fantastic.
Nothing from
Denver OKC can top this.
Yeah, I mean, Bucks Celtics was good in the first round last year and went to seven games, I think.
Yeah.
So
no, there have been random good series, but the fact that we're almost guaranteed, unless there's a big upset, we're guaranteed. If an Orlando or Brooklyn made it, then that would ruin the second round.
But. I mean, I think Orlando has a chance against Toronto. I really do. I don't know what the odds are, but if I had to pick any underdog to win in the first round, not including against Portland, who's technically an underdog.
Silly.
Who is the most likely underdog to win in the East? I would rank it
just
Orlando
Indiana's
1,
good,
Brooklyn
you're saying,
2.
None of them. None of them are likely. None of them are likely.
Yeah, I give Orlando a 29% chance of winning.
Now,
they're an 11 seed.
An Oladipo, Indiana, which let's say that's the 4 seed instead of the 5 seed. That's a really good series then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Boston, Indiana would have been a good series then, but it's not going to be. So, all right. So, Philly, Toronto. I have Toronto. What do you have?
Toronto 6.
Six. Okay. All right. You're irrational about Kawhi, so we'll see how right you are. But all right, and then Milwaukee, Boston. I don't think we'll be. I'm the same way about Giannis, I guess, as you are about Kawhi. I'm gonna say Bucks beat the Celtics in. Fine, I'll make it six, but I don't think it'll be that close.
Bucks over the Celtics in six sounds right.
I think the Celtics have a really challenging offseason where they got to make a lot of decisions. Is Kyrie leaving?
Simmons does 20 emergency podcasts that I don't listen
to. Bill Simmons talks about the Celtics every single week, no matter what. He ranked his craziest things that happened in the NBA this year, and three of the top six were Celtics. It made no sense.
Right. A team that's totally irrelevant right now. You should be talking about the Celtics as much as you're talking about the Spurs. Which is not at all on a national level.
All right. Okay, so we have Toronto against Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. Huge, huge ratings.
Unbelievable. It would be an incredible series. We could have Kawhi and
Giannis is the best player
in
the league, and Kawhi is a top five player, 1B. Top eight player, whatever. So
yeah, I'd say Kawhi 1A, Giannis.
Yeah. 1B. So I mean, there's talent there, even if the franchises don't exactly.
Now have, here's the thing: I want to pick the Raptors because I picked them before the season to win the championship. I don't know if Kawhi has the Kawhi gear that he had 2 years ago back yet, because he hasn't needed it, but he also hasn't really. He's sort of whelmed us, and you know, he's put up 26-7 efficiently, but. Yeah. Like, he's been whelming. Not underwhelming, but not overwhelming.
He's also only played 60 games.
His defense has been pretty mediocre. I don't know. Again, the same way that he literally didn't play for the Spurs last year, minus 9 games, is he giving it 100% right now? Knowing, like, we don't know, is Kawhi going to stay in Toronto? Like, it seems like he's having a good time, but also, like, it wouldn't shock me if he goes to L.A., right? So,
yeah.
Or some other place we don't know
that's,
that, you know,
that's
he's,
the
he's
scuttlebutt.
Considering. So I don't know, like, I don't know if he's trying 100%. We don't know what's in his head. We don't know what his stupid uncle's telling him. Ruin my life. But I can't switch now. My head says Bucks in 6, but my heart says Raptors in 7.
Yeah, I'm going to say Raptors. I'm going to say Bucks. I have a Bucks Warriors finals. I don't know how many games it's gonna go. I guess that's what we're picking right now.
Yeah.
I will say that the Bucks will beat the Raptors in 7. Make it exciting. Make it interesting. But I definitely
Bucks will beat the Raptors in 7?
Yeah, I have the Bucks coming out of the East.
So then what do you have in the finals? How many games are the Bucks gonna win in the finals? None?
You can't say none with Giannis. But
yeah.
I think that when your best player can't shoot, I just think it's a big problem in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, and I say about, that knowing
I'll,
that Giannis,
I'll say Warriors
the
over
NBA.
The Raptors
shoot,
in 7.
But
I will say the Raptors take the Warriors to 7.
Wow.
And I think the Bucks would too.
You think the NBA finals are going to be go down to a game 7?
At least like a close game 6 that maybe the Warriors steal.
I think the only game 7 the Warriors are playing is against Houston in the second round. I think after they get by Houston,
I think Toronto and Milwaukee
are
just as good as Houston, if not better.
But it's a different it's how the teams play and how they match up against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Although Milwaukee and Toronto are both very good defensive teams.
Yeah, yeah. Toronto can really shut down. They have a lot of people. They don't, and you know, they do have maybe a sieve on defense in Lowry.
Lowry was a great defensive player 3 years ago, but right now
they really don't have anywhere to hide him. Like he plays, he does play hard. He's not like Carmelo. But yeah. he's short and he's slow.
And by the way, if Giannis is Giannis covering Durant, who's covering Durant?
On the Bucks, I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know how you play it. He probably takes Durant. Durant hasn't been trying in like 6 weeks also.
I mean,
Durant
if you're so sure right that it's going to be a 7-game NBA Finals, then you must be really pumped for these playoffs. You don't just think it's a fait accompli for the Warriors the way that
Well, I'm not pumped because I like the NBA a lot, but ultimately I'm a Spurs fan and the Spurs have no chance. So
they have more chance than the Timberwolves.
Yeah, but I'm not, you know what I mean? I can't be that pumped.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's how I feel.
I
about
like
football
my teams more than I like the sports. Football is the opposite. Football, I can get excited for any game. Of course, it's much more important to me that the Jets win than anything else. But
yeah,
football on its own is the most beautiful thing my eyes have ever seen. Whereas basketball is great. But
All right. So this is our NBA preview.
Yeah. What about NHL? Do we have anything to say about the NHL?
I said at the beginning. I said the Lightning are like the new Washington Capitals. They take their President's Cup and they go home.
Shots at John John.
Oh yeah, big. I mean, I really couldn't care less about the NHL playoffs, honestly.
People want to talk NHL. How about this? I'm gonna ask you. I'm gonna name players, and you're gonna. Do you have NHL charts you update or no?
I do most years, but this year, once it became clear that the Wild were like finding their way out of the playoffs, I really stopped paying attention.
Okay.
I'm gonna do.
Do
really
you know who led
here.
The league in scoring? Do you know who led the NHL in scoring?
I mean, I would guess that it was Ovechkin, but I really don't know. Actually, no. It couldn't have been. I think Tampa won. Like, didn't Tampa win every single award?
If you mean scoring goals, Ovechkin did lead the league in scoring goals.
Okay, no. No, there's a Russian guy whose name I don't know on Tampa.
Yeah, Nikita Kucherov. That's a good call.
Okay.
All right, he had 128 points, which is, I think, the most in a long time. Okay, Connor McDavid, what team does he play for?
Oh, that's easy. He plays for Edmonton. Second. Yeah.
Because
you know
Kane,
what do I think of when I hear the name Connor McDavid? What old former fast food chain, which no longer exists?
McDavid's?
Do you remember that one?
What? No.
You don't remember that?
What are you talking about?
In the early 90s, before McDonald's came to America, there was
McDovid's. There was a McDovid's.
Yeah. And now there's only one left in a lot. But it was a chain back like 25 years ago.
We had a Burger Nosh near my house when I lived in Queens. Do you remember Burger Nosh? No, you don't know Burger Nosh.
Not really, no.
There's a player from Germany who is the fourth leading scorer in the NHL. Do you know who it is? He plays on the Edmonton Oilers.
So him and McDavid are on the same line?
Yeah. Leon Draisaitl.
I have never heard that name in my entire life. I've never heard that name in my entire life.
50 goals this year. I mean, maybe McDavid just makes him look good.
Yeah, maybe.
What team does Johnny Gaudreau play for?
I want to say the Sharks. It's somewhere in the West. I don't know.
Yeah, you're close. The Flames. He's American. The freaking American national team would be so good now.
I like how San Jose and Calgary we just called close. That's how much of NHL experts we are.
Well, if from a like a hockey perspective, they're like similar teams.
Yeah, okay.
Who is the Wild's leading scorer?
I mean, I stopped paying attention to this team halfway through the year. I really don't even know.
Can you name players on the Wild or no?
Yeah, I can, Suter and Parise. But the problem is Parise was hurt. So, I mean, what Parise didn't lead the team in scoring, did he?
Yeah, he did. 61 points.
Oh, that's not ideal.
I mean, really, he played 74 games. It's not like he missed that many games.
Yeah, no, Suter had a good season. Mm-hmm. Right? But,
Spurgeon.
And Devin Dubnyk had a decent season also. All right.
Devin Dubnyk. All right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. We can't. Insulting to preview the NHL for us. All right. But hopefully you enjoyed. Chester will post his all NBA teams, all defensive teams in the group chat. Also, add a poll, Chester, of excluding people who know us IRL. Do you use WhatsApp or not?
American. No, but I don't need to say the poll. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's going to be like 4%. Nobody does.
Okay.
Don't we know that again already?
I guess, yeah. I guess you don't even have to ask. Chester, the Coke thing is going to live on forever.
Yeah, it's genius.
The Coke thing is going to live on forever.
The only problem with lying to your kids is eventually they find out, and now they know they can't trust you anymore.
But. Chester never lying to his wife. That's going to live on forever. I feel like this is a classic podcast. Even if we should make sure that people who don't care about the NBA should listen to the first 10 or 15 minutes just for your insane takes.
All right, Keith.
All right, next week we have a pre-taped episode, and in 2 weeks we have the NHL NFL draft podcast with Jordan Kalish.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we need a new Seahawks fan. So,
what do you mean? What happened to Josh Krashen?
He's not a draft guy. He always pushes us on other guys. I've spoken to four different Seahawks fans, and they're all like fighting the hypo. They're like, they're going to trade down. They trade down every year, so we're not going to pick that. I'm like, that's fine. But right now, if they didn't trade down, who would they pick? Well, but they're not. They're definitely not going to make the pick, so that's not even relevant. I'm like. But that's how we do it with our mock draft. We're not like projecting trades. By the way, every single team's fans has said, well, we're going to trade down.
It's not good, right? It's not ideal for the Jets holding that third pick, which the Jets have no talent, no depth on their team. And they desperately need to get a few guys. And everyone wants to trade down.
If Kyler Murray does not go one or two, then there'd be value there. Because somebody's going to trade up.
Yeah, but I think he will, right?
The Giants and Jets can't make trades, right? Although the Giants are building on Eli for the long term now, which is amazing.
And the Jets would trade with the Giants. I don't think the Giants wouldn't trade with the Jets.
Oh, they would. Wow. All right. Okay, Keith. We'll talk about the NFL draft in 2 weeks.
All right.
Good luck to the Spurs.
Yes. Bye. I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black. Got the boosters black to match. Riding on a horse. You can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now, can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Riding on a tractor, lean all in my bladder. Cheated on my baby, you can go and ask her. My life is a movie, but riding in boobies. Cowboy hat from Gucci. Wrangler on my booty. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. Down cross town living like a rock.
I spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar. Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras. Riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car. God knows stress, I've been through all that. I'm like a Marlboro man, so I keep going back. Wish I could roll on back to that old